Welcome to episode 48 of the Fredcast for the week of December 25th, 2006. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. You're listening to a special Past Moments episode of the Fredcast. Yes, this does mean that this is a sort of rerun version of the Fredcast, and that's because I'm on vacation this week and next, but it contains one of the two most popular segments I've ever produced, entitled How to Prepare for Your First Century. These two segments originally aired in Fredcast episodes 5 and 7, and they're my holiday gift to you. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike or trainer, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Next up, I want to talk to you a little bit about something that a listener emailed me about. And the listener's name is Chris, and he's in Los Angeles, and he was telling me that he's getting ready to go for his first century. He and a buddy have recently taken up cycling as something that they want to do every single day or as often as possible, and they're writing about it on their blog, and I've put a link in the show notes to Chris's blog, and he also has a podcast of his own. So Chris sent me an email, and he told me that he was thinking about training for and riding his first century, and he asked me for some tips, and I gave him a couple, and then he said to me, hey, this would be a great topic for the Fredcast. So, Chris, thanks for the idea. I agree. So get ready for the Fredcast guide to training for and riding your first century, and that's exactly the way I'm going to present it. It's going to be a two-part series on how to prepare and train, and then the second part will be on the days leading up to and actually riding your first century. So let's get down to it. Very first thing you need to do, look a couple of months in advance from when you're going to start training and pick your event, because you need to have a goal. If you've got a goal, you can work backwards in your training from today, and you can really fine-tune your training to make sure that you're as prepared as possible for that event. Don't find one next month if you haven't been riding enough, but look for one out into April or May. Now, what should you look for when you choose your first century, and how do you find it? Well, first of all, and this may seem like common sense, but go for an organized event instead of just saying, oh, on May 20th, I'm going to go ride 100 miles. That's a bad idea. If it's your first century, you definitely want it to be an organized event, because at these events, you're going to have the support of volunteers and professionals for really any need that might arise. When you do an organized event, anywhere from 15 to 25 miles, there's going to be rest stops. And at those rest stops, you're going to be able to find bathrooms. You're going to be able to find food. You're going to be able to find hydration, first aid, bike mechanics. So there's no reason that your first century should be solo. There's no reason why you should be out there on your own trying to find a 7-Eleven or a Quickie Mart where you're going to be able to buy some Gatorade or some water to keep you going. Another reason to ride an organized event is because you've got the camaraderie of other riders. All of you are working toward the same goal, and that is finishing safely. So the great thing about that is you've got people to talk to take your mind off whatever pain you may be having. You've got people who you might be able to draft off of, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a little while. But definitely, you've got the support and you've got the camaraderie. Definitely do an organized event. So how do you find one? Well, there's two websites that are fairly new, which are pretty good at helping you find organized rides, and those are centuryrides.com and bikecenturies.com. And don't worry if you haven't written this down, it's in the show notes. You can go to thefredcast.com, click on the show notes for show number 5, and you'll be able to find these two links, and you can click on them. So what do you look for in that first century? Well, again, this may seem like common sense, but go for one with as little elevation gain as possible. Now listen, there are plenty of rides out there for very, very experienced century riders, and they've got names like Death and Breathless and Agony. That's not the one you should choose for your first century. Instead, choose ones with as little elevation gain as possible. And typically, when you go to the websites for these rides, they'll usually tell you how much elevation gain is involved, or they'll show you an elevation chart, and it's pretty easy to see which ones you shouldn't do for your first century. So definitely go for flatter ones. It's going to be impossible to do a completely flat century where you just have zero elevation gain. The world just isn't flat. Sorry, Christopher Columbus, it just isn't so. So look for ones with as little elevation gain as possible. I think that that's enough said. So now you've got your century. You need to start training. But whoa, put the brakes on for a second. The next thing that you need to do is you need to make sure that you have the right bike. Now, I've seen people riding centuries on a wide variety of bikes. High-end carbon and titanium road bikes, dual suspension mountain bikes, single-speed track bikes, often without brakes. Those guys are the real hardcore century riders. Tandems and mortems. I've seen them on folding bikes, scooters, beach cruisers. I've even seen people doing them on rollerblades, although I don't recommend it. There's no doubt in my mind, that riding a century with a lightweight road bike with lots of gears and narrow tires is going to be way easier for you. But at the same time, if your budget isn't going to allow you to go out and buy a new bike right now, then you can't do it. So let me give you a couple of tips and some things to keep in mind to make sure that your bike won't keep you from having a good first century experience. First and foremost, take your bike to your local shop and have it thoroughly checked out. Tell them you want a tune-up. Tell them you're getting ready to ride a century. And they'll know that you're serious, and they'll make sure that your bike is in tip-top shape. Now, if you have a mountain bike, for instance, most mountain bikes come with knobby tires. Knobby tires have a very high rolling resistance. That simply means it's going to take you more work to get that bike moving. So the first thing that you're going to want to do is check out those tires. If you've got knobby tires, take them off and get some slick tires. And your bike shop will definitely have a variety of those. Get some slick tires and definitely get narrower tires. A lot of mountain bikes come with 2 1/4 inch wide tires. That's going to be too wide because, again, that's going to give you a higher rolling resistance. So narrower, slicker tires are the first thing that you definitely want to check out because it's going to make your ride a lot easier. The next thing, and again, one of those common sense things, but you definitely have to mention it. The last time you were on your bike, maybe you went for a short ride, how did your rear end feel? Well, if it didn't feel that great, you might want to look at getting a cushier or more comfortable saddle for your century. Because if you're going to ride a century, your first century, you may be on that bike anywhere from 6 to 8 hours. If you're going to be sitting on a seat that hurts you after 15 or 20 minutes, you don't want to be sitting on it after 6 or 8 hours. Your body, your rear end will thank you for doing a little bit of research and finding the right saddle that's going to be just right for 6 or 8 hours of sitting. Next, I want you to look at shoes. Now, you don't necessarily, if you're not comfortable, you don't necessarily have to ride with clipless pedals, although as you become a more accomplished rider, I think you're going to want to because you're going to find that you're going to be able to get more power into your pedal stroke, both on the downstroke and the upstroke with clipless pedals. But you don't have to do that right now. What you do need are cycling-specific shoes. You see, cycling-specific shoes are going to be stiffer on the bottoms and are going to make sure that you're not wasting any effort and that, you know, you're using your full muscle power into that pedal stroke. So take a look at getting some cycling shoes. Next, riding a century involves the loss of a lot of liquid through perspiration, and so you definitely have to stay hydrated. Make sure you have good water bottle cages on your bike, and make sure that you have the largest water bottles that will fit in those cages. And if not, you might even consider a hydration pack. Now, most Freds will tell you that it's not cool to ride your road bike with a Camelback or a hydration pack. And admittedly, I don't ride with one either. But it is probably the best way to make sure that you stay hydrated because you're able to carry a lot more liquid than you would in water bottles. And because that straw is hanging over your shoulder, you're much more likely to take drinks more often, especially if you're not real confident reaching down and grabbing that water bottle. So if you want to go for water bottles, make sure you have enough on your bike. or if you want to go the hydration pack route, either way, the most important thing is that you have a way to stay hydrated when you're out there on the Century. Next, you want to make sure that you have a good toolkit, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that in part two of this podcast, so keep that in mind. And finally, you want to make sure that you have the proper clothes. And again, that's something that I'm going to be talking about in part two. So check out your bike, make sure that it's up to the task, and make sure that it's well-equipped and that you are well-equipped for the task. Now, the next thing is you want to make sure that your bike fits properly. Now, that's not to say that it's the right bike size for your height. It's, is it properly adjusted for your body? You see, it's one thing, again, to ride your bike 10 or 15 miles, and it's another to ride 100. After you get close to that 100 miles, you're going to find that just the tiniest of adjustments on your bike can either make you feel awful at the end of 100 miles or can make you feel great at the end of 100 miles. So while you're in there at the bike shop, ask them whether or not they can professionally fit you. And the professional fit will include everything from, is your handlebar the right height? Is your stem the right length? Is your seat post the right height? Is your saddle as far forward as it needs to be or as far back as it needs to be? So you can see there's a lot of tiny little adjustments, and even a millimeter, a centimeter can make a difference in the comfort on your bike. So make sure that your bike fits you properly. Next, it's time to get down to training. Your bike fits you, it's well outfitted, it's got all the right parts on it for a Century. Now it's time for training. Now, there was a great article in Bicycling Magazine a few years ago about how to train for a Century. And the article included, I think it was about a 10-week day-by-day training schedule to get you from being a casual rider to a Century rider. The schedule included, I remember, how many miles each day that you needed to ride. It told you the pace of each day's ride and the days on which you should just stay home to rest and recover, because rest and recovery is oftentimes as important as the longest day on a bike. Now, unfortunately, I wasn't able to find the official version of that schedule online, but I was able to find a number of reproductions of it. So since I don't want to infringe on anyone's copyrighted material, I'm not going to link to it in the show notes, but trust me, if you were able to find this podcast, then I'm sure that you know how to use Google. It was Bicycling Magazine, and it was How to Train for a Century. So go out and look for it and find that chart, because I think that you're going to find that it's going to be very helpful to you in designing your training program. Okay, so although I didn't find the exact training schedule, what I can tell you is that even if you haven't ridden your bike for more than 5 miles at a time, you can train for and ride a Century. And I really think that you can do it within 10 weeks. Now, when I trained for my first Century, I didn't use a training schedule. I didn't use a magazine article. I just got on my bike and rode nearly every single day for several months. And here's what I learned. First, and this is important, there is no need, and I don't think you ever should, ride 100 miles before your big event. Now, the conventional wisdom is that if you can consistently ride 1/2 to 2/3 of your longest distance, then you can actually do that longest distance. So let's say, for instance, you're going to do a Century. If you can consistently ride anywhere from 50 to 65 miles, you really are going to be okay. So I've already told you that you need to choose an event far enough in the future to allow you to get in shape, and that you need to have a bike that's equipped to handle riding 100 miles on pavement. Now we need to get your body in shape to handle riding a Century, and to get you used to being on the bike for 5, 6, or more hours. So how do you get to the point where you can consistently ride that 50 to 65 miles? First, you need to do at least one long ride every week. Now, obviously, you're going to want to do that on a Saturday or Sunday or whatever your days off are. Now, right now, that long ride might only be 10, 15, or 20 miles for you, because maybe you haven't done a really long ride so far. Don't worry about that. Everyone starts someplace. Over the weeks to come, you're going to slowly ramp up to 50 to 65 miles at the end of your 10 weeks, not at the beginning. And you're going to do that by maybe adding 5 or 10 miles to your long ride every week. So again, if this week you do 20, maybe next week you do 25 or 30. And then the following week, maybe you do 30 or 35, and so on, until you're able to really ramp up your mileage to be able to do consistently long rides of 50 to 65 miles once a week. Now, besides your long ride, you should do at least one short, high-energy ride every week. Now, to do this, you're going to want to stretch and warm up for maybe 10 or 20 minutes, and then do about 20 or 30 minutes of high-speed riding, followed by another 10 to 20 minutes of cool-down. Now, your high-speed riding, what am I talking about there? High cadence, high speed, in control, but really getting your heart rate up there so that you know that you can really work that aerobic system of your body. And if you don't want to do an extended amount of high speed work, then you can do intervals. And there's plenty of places online where you can learn about intervals. And that's the kind of training that I'm doing right now, where every day I have different intervals that I'm doing in order to work my aerobic system up to do my long ride, because I'm working up to do a double century this year. Now, the rest of your week, you've got your one short high energy ride, and then you've got your one long ride every week. The rest of your week should consist of relatively short rides, and each of those should have varying terrain, and the rides should get progressively longer each week. Start out with rides of 30 to 60 minutes. That's really all that you need to start with as you start your training program. But one of the most important things that I've learned is don't do the same ride every day. Otherwise, you're going to get bored and you're going to give up. And don't forget to give yourself at least one day off each week, along with one recovery ride. And my recommendation for a recovery ride is that, let's say on Sunday you do your long ride, then on Monday you should do a short recovery ride where you're not getting your heart rate up very high at all. You're just out there doing a nice easy spin, working out your muscles, working out the kinks that you may have developed the day before, or just working out the soreness from your muscles. Remember, keep the heart rate low. Your cadence doesn't have to be too high. Your recovery ride should just be a nice, easy spin. Now, within a week or two of your actual event, you should be able to complete a ride of, as I said, anywhere from 50 to 65 miles without any problems. Some people are going to recommend that you do a back-to-back 50 miles, so that on a Saturday you do 50 miles, and on a Sunday you do 50 miles. And they recommend that you do this 1 or 2 weeks before your actual century. And they say that you should do this so you get used to knowing how your body's going to feel when it's fatigued. Because imagine if Saturday you did 50, and then on Sunday you're doing 50, somewhere around mile 20 or 25, you're not going to feel quite as good as you did at mile 20 or 25 on Saturday. And so it's a way for you and your body to sort of get used to what it feels like to have a little bit of fatigue, so that when you start doing the century and you get toward mile 60, 70, you really know how to deal with the way that your body is feeling. Personally, I've never done it, but I've seen people recommend it. Do what works for you. Now, as you're doing this, one of the things that I definitely recommend is that you keep a journal. And whether you do that on a spreadsheet program or a database program, you actually write by hand. No matter what you do, keep a journal. And every day, write down how many miles you rode. Write down your route. Write down how you felt. If you've got a heart rate monitor and you're monitoring your heart rate, write down what your maximum was and what your average heart rate was. Maybe a little bit about the weather. And then, how are you feeling after that ride and during the ride? And at what point were you feeling great? What point weren't you feeling great? Because as the weeks progress, you're going to want to look back at this, not just to give yourself some motivation so that you learn how much better you're feeling and that you want to really strive to do better, but you want to be able to go back and you want to compare how you're feeling today to how you were feeling yesterday. And then after you finish your century and you start training for your next one, and maybe next year you say, gee, was I really feeling this awful at this point last year? You can go back to that ride log and you can look at it and you can say, yeah, I was. So this really isn't unusual for me. So it's a great baseline for you to create for your cycling training now and in the future. Okay, so you've done all your training, your bike is ready, your clothes are ready, you're ready to do your century. Be sure to listen next week, and I'm going to bring you part two, during which I'm going to tell you what to do the days just before your century, what to do and expect the day of, and the day following the century. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments about this topic or any of the things I've mentioned about preparing for your first century, please let me know. I'll be happy to answer your questions on the podcast or share your comments with the rest of the listeners. And that's it for segment number one. Segment number two coming next week, and I hope you've enjoyed this first Past Moments episode of the Fredcast. If you have any questions or comments, please email me at thefredcast@gmail.com. call the Fredcast listener hotline at 206-203-FRED or click the send audio comment link on the left side of our website at www.thefredcast.com. I hope you're all having a wonderful holiday season. The Fredcast will be back next week with another Past Moment show featuring part two of How to Prepare for Your First Century. And we'll return with a new episode on January the 8th. In the meantime, if you're looking for some new content, I highly encourage you to visit my other podcast, the Spokesman Roundtable Cycling Podcast at www.thespokesman.com. And that's www.the-spokesman.com. For our PodSafe music selection tonight, I continue the holiday music theme of the past few shows with Alison Krauss singing Silent Night. Now, I know that this is not exactly cycling music, but I've always loved this song, and since I'm recording this Christmas Eve 2006 here in snowy Idaho where it's about 21 degrees Fahrenheit or about minus 7 Celsius, this song just fits my mood. Links to this and all the music played on the Fredcast can be found in the show notes. So, if you celebrate Christmas, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. If not, just enjoy this wonderful holiday season and its message of peace, love, and harmony. And toward that end, I hope you enjoy this holiday music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.
Jesus, Lord, and